This is a time of memory. You see, as we unpack the ornaments and put them on the tree, they remind me of life events or special occasions. 2009, the first Christmas that I spent married. Or that special trip to Philadelphia that Megan and I got to take. Or baby's first Christmas, or this year, second baby's first Christmas. Each one of those carries a special memory and a special meaning that brings joy. Or this last week, we spent the week at Megan's parents' house. And everywhere you turn in their house, there are picture frames of their daughters at various stages of life and various stages of hair. And they're wonderful, and they're hilarious, and they're cute, and they're awkward, and you get your braces photos, and you get your senior pictures, and you get your, there's the guy who's dating my daughter picture that hangs in the bathroom. Yes, that is like the only place in the house that I am is in the bathroom. I don't know what that says. That's probably not completely true. But everywhere you look, there are these wonderful and beautiful memories. Or one of the things I love most about Christmas is receiving all the little Christmas cards and letters. We get these pictures or these statements from people that we know and love from around the world. And so we see a snapshot of some of the things they've been doing over the course of the last year. And some of them include a letter bragging about their kids, or more often than not, their grandkids and the things that they're up to, and sharing all their accomplishments and achievements, and reminding us of all the amazing things that God is doing in their life, whether they realize it or not. And so, for me, Christmas and the end of the year are a time for memory. They provide this incredible opportunity, especially now as we stand on the cusp of a new year, this opportunity to look back and to remember. And sometimes that is a joy. New births, new love, new jobs begun, or passions discovered, or goals accomplished, or dreams born. And sometimes memory can be a little bit tough. It reminds us of loved ones lost, or relationships that didn't pan out, or people who have moved away, or dreams left unaccomplished, and goals left unfulfilled. And 2017 has been an incredible year, hasn't it? I mean, think about it for the city of Houston. We hosted a Super Bowl and did it well. The Astros won the World Series. Some of you just lit up. And yet it also had its challenges. Hurricane Harvey and its aftermath, with the devastation and damage that went with it. And fill in the blank. Or you can think about it for our congregation. 2017 has been an incredible year. We've seen new children born. We've seen people come to faith and grow in faith. We've seen people give their lives to Christ through baptism. We've seen our church look at some new ways to bless the community around us. We've had numerous kids and families in our building through VBS and LTC and Footsteps and our fall festival. And yet it's also had its challenges as families move away, as they do. And faith struggles for some, and people suffer through disease and disaster, and there's been a lack of numerical growth. Memory can be wonderful, and it can be difficult. And sometimes it's easier just to forget, to deny, to run away from the past and all that goes with it. We'd rather live forgetting at times what is behind. In the past year, Hannah has really enjoyed watching the movie The Lion King. She sees it almost every Sunday. We're at Life Group and Paul and Sherry's house. I think it just sits in their DVD player waiting for the kids to come over. She loves it so much and watches it at their house so much that they gave it to us for her birthday so that we would stop wearing out their copy, I think. And as we sat down and watched it once again this week, I was reminded of one of the elements that unfolds in the story. You see, the young lion cub Simba suffers a pretty difficult trauma in his life. As he watches through some deception and some trickery, but he watches as his father is killed. And sorry if I gave away any spoilers there, but honestly, the movie came out in 1994, so you're on your own if you haven't seen it. I'm not going to feel too bad. But there's this point in the movie at which Simba runs away and he hides until he's an adult. And then he's confronted with his past, and Simba does what he does best. He runs away again, this time running into the woods, where he runs into the wise baboon, Rafiki, who forces him to confront this painful past he's been trying to escape. So let's just watch the scene together.
I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah! You see? So what are you going to do?
All right. And he makes a pretty strong statement there, right? The past can be painful. It can hurt. It's something that many of us would rather forget. And so at times we bury it deep inside. We convince ourselves maybe that it didn't happen, or maybe that we were the ones at fault. You see, sometimes it's just too painful, and so we choose to ignore it, hoping that maybe this time really might heal all wounds. And then just if we want to spiritualize our forgetting, we can remind ourselves of verses like this one from Isaiah 43, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, it's totally okay if I just move on with life. Or the one that we read this morning, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. See, the past is in the past. It doesn't matter, let's move forward. But there's one thing about those passages, maybe a couple of things. One, it's really easy to talk about forgetting, and it's incredibly difficult for us to actually do. And the second thing is that it's not always good to forget. You see, as Isaiah is writing these words to people, they don't come just at the beginning of the letter. Well, don't worry about anything that came before. No, they come after 42, really the first 39 chapters, the next ones are hopeful, of this is the problem. This is where we've been. This is what happened. This is how we're going to have to deal with the effects of it. Isaiah is then calling them past the past to think about the incredible new thing that God is about to accomplish. Or Paul isn't asking the people in Philippi to just forget about everything. Instead, I want to take a moment and look at this in context today. You see, Paul is writing this letter to a group of Christians in Philippi, a group of people who have had a significant part to play in his past. They were the first converts in Europe, at least on European soil that we know of. And Paul and Silas did an incredible ministry in their town. They even drove out demons, and they were imprisoned for their efforts. Paul had a lot of memories from Philippi, both good and difficult. And Paul always writes from a place of memory. You can't turn to a single letter where Paul isn't talking about some memory he has with the people that he is writing to. And he often weaves the past with advice and words for the present. And so some of Paul's memory verses from Philippians are going to pop up here on the screen. You see, Paul remembers their faith and faithfulness fondly. Paul reminds them of everything that has been happening in his life recently as he sits in chains in Rome, imprisoned for his faith. He also calls them to remember the persecution that he suffered while he was there in Philippi, because he knows that they too are going through persecution at the moment. And then Paul commends them for their faith and their obedience, and he calls them to carry on in faithfulness. And then Paul finally thanks them for remembering him and his ministry and in his need. You see, Paul doesn't stop and just forget his past with the Philippians. He doesn't just try to ignore or paint over the persecution that he suffered while he was there. Paul doesn't do that for them in a community. He doesn't do it personally either. Indeed, he stops here in the middle of the letter to talk about his past, his life before Christ. He writes, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, if anybody could call themselves the Hebrew of Hebrews," he says, "that's me. In regard to the law, a Pharisee." In fact, we learn in another place, trained by one of the top rabbis of the time. "As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. My life was pretty good." Paul talks about his former way of life, which is a mixture of the good and the difficult. His Jewish faith and upbringing, his ethnic heritage, his Pharisaical rabbinic training, and his zealous persecution of Christians. You see, Paul points out all the reasons that he could have confidence, but these are also some things that bring him pain. You see, Paul talks in other places about his zealous violence that he did in the name of the Lord, and at times he even calls it an obsession, and he remembers it with hurt and pain for the things that he's done. For Paul, the past can at times be painful. And I think it would probably be easier for him to try to forget it. But the past is what made Paul who he was. And it helped shape him and teach him as he moved forward. You see, Paul walks this interesting line. He doesn't forget the past because of it's part of his life and his story, and it shaped how his life and his ministry has moved from that point forward. But he also doesn't dwell in the past. He doesn't sit in his shame or grovel in his guilt. Instead, Paul seeks to use his past to look towards the future. Because Paul is a product of his past. He is always going to be a Jewish person, even when he lays those things aside for his Gentile friends. Paul has been shaped by his rabbinic training, which has helped him in his ministry after he makes Jesus his true rabbi. He has always been zealous for Judaism until confronted by Jesus. And then he becomes zealous for spreading the message of the Messiah. The change his life undergoes becomes part of his ministry and his message from that time forward. Paul isn't trying to gloss over his past. He simply takes it and runs with it, because Paul has learned to put his past into perspective. Because he goes on to say, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him." These words from Paul are a reevaluation of his values. Once Paul was in Christ, nothing else could be more important. Everything else was insignificant, inconsequential. He calls it a loss or a load of trash. For Paul, Christ puts everything into a new perspective. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The wonderful and the difficult. The comforting and the challenging. So memories of joy and echoes of pain can be brought into new perspectives in Christ. And so Paul calls them to a new way of remembering by forgetting. Listen to that again. Paul calls them to a new way of remembering, and that's through forgetting. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And for us, it seems a little bit ironic and oxymoronic in a way, right? Paul is calling them to forget. But he's actually not calling them to forget. He's actually calling them to a form of memory that perceives the past, present, and future in light of the gospel of Christ. For Paul, forgetting simply means putting everything into a new perspective. It's a new way of thinking, of being, of perceiving all of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, with Christ at the center. And so Paul looks back at these things that used to make him who he was with a new measure of importance. In Christ, they're not all that important. Paul embraces his present circumstances, as joyful and as difficult as they may be. And Paul pursues a new priority for his future, a prize that is upward or heavenly in calling, depending on what translation you have. And there are a lot of ways to take this end goal that Paul is talking about. Some see it just as the hope of heaven, which is definitely Paul's ultimate goal here. That's the reward that he is longing for. But it can also be translated for us to think about it as the pursuit of a heavenly calling here on earth. As Paul stated before earlier in this letter, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Right? That heavenward, heavenly calling can be right here and right now, and it's also in the hereafter. For Paul, the future is about both living for Christ and expanding the kingdom here on earth, and then living forever with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul considers his past, he embraces his present, and he dreams of his future, all while keeping Christ at the center. And he fuels himself by remembering his calling and his ultimate destination. And I love his words here. Forget. That's difficult to do. Sometimes impossible. So he's not saying just forget it. But see it with new eyes. And so we enter a new year tonight. Many of us will stay up and watch the ball drop in Times Square, and we will celebrate with friends and family the ending of one year and the opening of a new one. And some of us are sad to see 2017 go, and others of us are waving excitedly as it passes by. Many of us are somewhere in between. But a new year dawns with new possibilities. And so we stop and we dream. We make resolutions of things we hope to accomplish or goals that we would like to see or things that we would like to change. We think about what might be this year, and we have dreams of joy and hope and possibility, and we look forward. We look forward with excitement to what might be. And 2018 might just be a monumental year, one that you will remember moving forward. It may be life-changing for you, and I hope so. My prayer is that 2018 is God-blessed for you. I pray that your year is full of joy. May you dream big dreams and accomplish great things. May you grow in faith, hope, and love. May God bless you, smile on you, and bring you peace. And 2018 might just be a monumental year for our congregation. This year might be one that West University is going to remember going forward. It might just be life-changing for us. You see, our congregation has existed for 79 years, well, just in a couple of days. It started in January of 1939. For 79 years, this church has blessed its surrounding community. And generations have grown in faith. Grace has been extended. People have come to Christ through our efforts. Lives have been changed. Hearts have been touched. Homes have been healed. And hope has been restored through our work. And at one point, this church had 600 members here. And thousands of people have been blessed by this church and those who have been a part of it. 79 years is an incredible legacy of faith that is a great blessing. And I'm so thankful for what God has accomplished. And we consider our past to have great and lasting importance. And yet we also want to embrace our present. We have 159 members, or 150 members of our church from a variety of backgrounds and nations and stories of faith. We've been engaged in a lot of incredible work for the kingdom of God. We help support ministries, especially here in this city, to bless those in the midst of disease, to reach out to those who are ensnared in poverty, and to help college students grow in faith. And we also want to embrace the fact that at the moment we don't have really an overarching vision or ministry of who we want to be that gives our time here meaning. And that's okay. We know we want people to come to know Christ. We know we want to grow in faith, and we know we would love to grow in numbers, but that's often where our vision of that stands. But I want to just say, let's embrace that. It is what it is in the present. And we want to then seek to clarify our calling and also cast a new vision of what could be for the future of West University. And so 2018 is going to be an exciting and an incredible and scary year in some ways. We're going to be partnering with a group called Kairos, which is a Church of Christ. They help plant churches, but they also help churches just strategize and think about where they are, who they are at the moment, and where would they like to be, and then how do they begin to get there. And so a couple of weeks from now, we're going to be sitting down with somebody from that organization. We're going to talk about the history of our church and who we have been and who we are at the moment. And we're going to start dreaming dreams about who we want to become. And we look to the future with hope. We want to imagine great things, not for our own good, but for God's glory. And we want to remember that everything we do, the way that we live and love, the manner we speak and the ministries we undertake, the outreach efforts and the opportunities for growth, that everything we do is done for the glory of God. And we remember that the future is both about living for Christ in the here and now and expanding His kingdom here on earth, and then living forever with Christ in the kingdom of heaven and trying to get as many people to go there with us as they can. And so we as a congregation want to remember our past, embrace our present, and look forward to our future as well. You see, Paul calls the Philippians, and really all Christians, to forget. But what he really remembers is to consider everything about ourselves in light of God's story and God's glory and God's grace. Because if we don't remember to forget, as Paul tells us to, if we don't remember our past but be willing to look at ourselves honestly, forthrightly, and with a sense of putting our priorities on what's important, if we don't think about what could be, then I think we miss the whole point. We can't strain towards what's ahead. You see, we have to forget in order to dream. Because if we don't, then we forget to dream at all. Remember our past. Embrace our present and look forward to the future. To be honest, that's really just the description too of conversion. Wherever you are in life is where you are. Whatever joys and hopes and whatever challenges and frustrations, whatever good things you've done and whatever sins you've also accomplished is what it is. And you can't change it. And we have to remember our past and remember the need for God, and we have to embrace that in the present. Because God wants nothing more than for us to come to know Him. See, God doesn't require us to be perfect. As Paul is called, he's on the way to kill a whole bunch of people, right? God doesn't require us to be perfect when He calls us to Him. He simply calls us to Him anyway. We embrace Him in our present, and we look forward to the future. And so today, if there's a way we can help you do that, if you need things prayed over today, we would love to do that for you. If you need to embrace Christ and His forgiveness through repentance and through baptism, we would love to stay and do that for you. That's a great way to end the year and start a new one. If you simply need to remember that your calling is heavenward in Christ Jesus, we would love to pray over you for that. You just need to be rejoiced with some amazing things that are happening. We'd love to do that too. We want to help you in whatever way we can today. If you want to do that publicly, we're going to sing a song. You're welcome to respond as we do that. If you just want to tell somebody before you leave, you're welcome to come and talk to me or one of our elders or anybody you see on the way. We would love to just talk to you a little bit. But may God bless you. May He guide you. May He keep you. May He help you to forget what is behind and strain towards what's ahead for His glory today. Let's sing together.